Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And can we all say together, the market conditions suck. There is nothing going on. I don't care what you're trading. If you're trading equities, they're just zipping around back and forth, going absolutely nowhere. Where I think it's now 31 days with no big move bigger than a 1%. The grain markets are in a coma, heading a little bit lower. I think you've got some. I actually think it's a nice opportunity, to believe it or not. I think that we're going to see. Some new money come in here. I think we're right on what I would consider the bottom end of support. And we'll talk about that later, but I like that. The only grain I don't like at the moment is soybeans. This is almost like an instant replay of right before July 4th when beans kept fighting everything else, and they looked better and they acted better, and then, of course, they got whooped. But again, I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying that's how I kind of look for it. I think all in all, the grain space will be fine. The livestock markets are sleeping. So at the end of the day, every market is sleeping. It's a challenging time for trading, and not surprising. It is, after all, it is, you know, August. It is, you know, a week from now, you know, today's Wednesday, so a week from today, you know, most people will be leaving for that final vacation, the Labor Day, you know, the no more wearing white after, excuse me, no more wearing white after Labor Day, right? You know, you gotta watch what you're wearing, right? You gotta keep your, you know, you got to keep everything right. We can't be the old guys walking around Miami Beach with white shoes on. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, so it is no surprise that we have a quiet market. It should be rather expected. Now, the key is where does it go from here? What does Janet Yellen and crew talk about in Jackson Hole, Wyoming? Are we going to get Jackson Hole? You know, so that's something of note. But overall, the Fed itself has already kind of laid the groundwork for a potential rate increase. Okay. Now, again, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. But because of that, it may, and because of that and the reaction from the markets have not sold off. They have not done much of anything but stay in this tight range. Now, my opinion is that the markets don't believe them, so they refuse to sell off because of that. But maybe, all in all, maybe the market can indeed tolerate a rate increase here, but I would find it very hard to believe that we will see anything before the election. Okay, the election is a total mess. You know, we've got some pretty shaky candidates. I mean, of course, you know, I think Trump is the best for the country in the direction I think we want to head. I think that is important to understand just from a standpoint of what is our objective and what are we trying to gain here. And to me, that's why I think that, you know, Mr. Trump gives us a better opportunity, okay, for success, because he actually wants to change a few things. He actually wants to change a few of the way we do things. So that to me is important. Because again, whether you like him or not, you have to believe in the potential of changing the way things are done. I mean, I think we can all agree that the way things have been done is pretty crappy. Okay, I think we can all agree that the way things are done, it would need to be changed. So I think Mr. Trump gives us the best chance of that. Okay, now again, I'm not telling you that he's the greatest guy ever. I am telling you that, in my opinion, okay, I think that we have the best opportunity for change. And I don't mean the Barack Obama change. I don't mean the take more money away from you, steal more things out of your pocket, become the most antagonistic president of our time, continually to berate and kind of make fun everybody. I don't mean that kind of change. I mean actually wants to change the way, you know, term limits. He wants to change some of the laws and the rules that I think give us a better shot at the overall deal. That to me is what I'm thinking about change. I mean, again, I don't like the way that the system is set up today. I don't like professional lifetime politicians. I think what is the saying? Complacency breeds contempt, something like that. I'm tired of watching the same assholes do nothing and get paid a lot of money to do nothing, but spend all their time campaigning. And, you know, I forget the amount of money that they get to keep out of what they raise, or there's a way they can spend it. I don't know. I forget. But at the end of the day, I don't know about you, but I'm sick of it. I want to see less government. I want to see more of the states taking over some of the control. I think that's one thing I really love about Texas. Okay, they basically told the government to go, you know what, when they started with the bathroom issue, and you know that's what I like. I like that states should have, I think, a little bit more power to run their own. I'm really, again, of course, you guys know this from hearing me enough, but I am fed up with the Fed. I think that has become a comical exhibit in how to not do things correctly. So that bothers me. So there's a lot of things overall that give me a great deal of issue with the current system. You know, again, I'm a financial guy, and it always comes back to the money. But, you know, we need, and we'll talk about this when we come back, but we need to be more of the free market society we are instead of the crap dragon that we've now become. Okay, that, again, becomes, to me, a bigger story, is how do we, you know, stop, you know, worried about garbage. I mean, that's, to me, is the bigger story. So anyways, you've kind of got the gist of my feelings and my opinions, and as you always do. I got more. Stick around. I got more, as always. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, and how dare you miss me? No, just kidding. You get them at libertytalk.fm. You get a download of The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. And also make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com. We're starting new classes, so check them out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive, whatever. Anyways, So, you know, as I was talking about the market, the free market theory, okay, this is a big thing, okay? Free markets are very important. And not only that, but, you know, free markets help you in what we call discovering price, because assets themselves are quite capable of pricing themselves out. Okay, they don't need a lot of help from anybody to collect to put the right price in. Okay, and I think that becomes more the idea is how do we get back to that free market society and get away from all the crap that we have now. Okay, now, free markets, what does that mean? Free markets is going to, you know, change a few things, but we can stand change. Why wouldn't we want change that could be for the better? Okay, that's always my question, is why do we not want something that changes things for the better? Okay. And to me, that's an issue. Okay. Because I want things for the better. I'm sure everybody does. So why can't we change it for the better so that we can get back to a free market system? Now, what I'm referring to is markets work best when they're free. Okay. And by free, that means that nobody is there playing with the price and giving it artificial insemination, okay, and dictating what the price should be. You know, there should not be an artificial floor underneath the stock market, okay? That's not the correct way. That is not the American way, because at the end of the day, markets have a way of pricing themselves out. Okay. Markets know and are the best at valuing assets all on their lonesome. Okay. But when you continue to let the people that the powers that be kind of do what they're doing, what do you end up with? You end up with a mess. Okay. You end up with a real piece of crap, which is what we're starting to turn into, because we're not allowing, there should be no business that is, for example, too big to fail. Okay. There just shouldn't be a too big to fail setup, because why should anybody be above anybody else and be too big to fail? I mean, you know, is your business too big to fail? I don't think so. Okay, mine certainly isn't too big to fail. So to me, that becomes the bigger problem, is when we allow these problems and these issues to show. Okay, because why should anybody be too big to fail? It's not logical. Okay, that a business should not have the opportunity to go down. You know, we are America, where you have a chance to become a billionaire. Obviously, you've got a couple of them, well, more than a couple. But if you don't, you know, if you can't make it, then you fail. But you know what? Failing is never a bad thing. You can come back from it. You know, America is also the home of the ability to go after it again. So, but when you destroy the free market system, you're not just destroying one item, you're destroying everything that comes in its way. This is the issue that I have, is that everything that comes in the wake of a non-free market system gets destroyed. So to save businesses that should probably fail anyways, you know, in any system, failure to clean out the weak and the crud is no good, okay? Because the weak and the crud is what holds down a nation. The weak and the crud is what holds down a sports team. the weekend the crud is what holds down anything. So either you have to get stronger and better, or you have to be, you know, taken out and figure out a way to reconstruct. But when you take away that ability of failing, you're now just saying, okay, well, it's okay to be subpar. Which, what does that lead to? It leads to subpar products. It means that we, the taxpayers, get to pay more money when they fail, or that we have to support them. It means that, you know, too big to fail is, you know, really, who does it get? It gets you and me, average taxpayer. Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer get the jam shot here. Okay. Because why? Well, think about it. Okay. The taxpayer, we always cover all the bad debt. Okay. So if we're going to cover all the bad debt, well, if you keep people in business and then they finally have to fold, we get to pay for it. Whereas if you get back to a true and free market system, okay, what you are doing is you're saying, okay, here I am. Here's my free market system. Okay. And in that free market, okay, we're going to weed out the ones that are not strong enough to make it, just like in the stock market. Okay. You know, everything works on that same price discovery model. Okay. Now, we go to the grocery store, we don't barter for price, but certainly one's cheaper than the other. You're discovering price and they're discovering what's value. You know, you saw yesterday Best Buy had bigger sales because they were more competitively priced into Amazon, so they picked up more business. Now they're struggling, but they're trying to turn it around. So as we discover price, what happens is companies go out of business, okay? And when companies go out of business, okay, a new company comes in to replace it. And that is what we're missing in our current setup, is we're not allowing the failure to hit, so we're not allowing the growth of new business. Hence, we're not allowing anything to happen. And again, when you do that, you put a hurt on the overall nation, because the only way that you get stronger is by showing that you can survive. And that's where the free markets come, because the free markets determine the price of everything, including interest rates. Why is the Federal Reserve dictating rates when the free market can dictate rates? Now, I don't particularly care where a bank borrows from. I mean, the banking system is, the banks borrow money from the banking system, the Federal Reserve, and there's a lending rate. Okay, so right now the banks are borrowing at 0.25%, and their job is to loan that money out and get a big enough spread so that they can make a big profit. So far, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that there's nowhere to really go. And until they can widen that spread a little bit farther, they're not willing to take the overall risk. And I can't blame them as well. Again, I can't blame them for not wanting to take that risk, because why would you if you don't have to? And of course, they don't have to, because they can give the money back to what they call the full faith and credit. So overall, when you eliminate a free market system and you bring in more of a socialized system, what do we think is happening here in healthcare? Okay, if they would let the markets price themselves against each other, we might actually get some reasonable pricing. But because of the way the system is designed, Obamacare was designed to fail. Okay, it may be a very good idea in theory, but we know how theory does not work most of the time. But at the end of the day, in theory, the system is fine. Okay, but the problem is, in fact, if you only get people that are higher risk, prices have to go higher. Whereas if you opened it up at a reasonable price for everybody and weren't such a jackass about it, you might actually have everybody signing up for a system like that. Because if we could go to our own doctors and get a reasonable rate and do all that stuff, then everybody wants health insurance. It's just most of us don't want to pay the tab for somebody that's been, you know, that's a higher risk. But in a pool, you could get away with it. And I think that's what we're missing in this whole picture. Anyway, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horts. We're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be right back. But remember, LibertyTalk.fm, the Bubba Show, 250,000 downloads. Let's get to 300. I need your help. We'll be right back after the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horts. Right back.
How about you?
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and you know, I don't know. Everybody keeps telling me all the good news that we have. All the pundits continue to bang the desk. Oh, you got to be in the markets. The news is so phenomenal. Well, let me ask you this. New home sales surged, I tell you. It's the most since, 10 years ago, 2007. However, the average house price fell. Now, is that tremendous growth? Or are sales surging because they're giving them away? Okay. You know, this market, not stock market, the overall economy sucks. Yet, every day we hear the pundits telling us how good everything is. I go, okay, great. Where's the growth? Where is the capital spending? And there's never an answer. Okay. All there is a bunch of BS about how much of a recovery. I want to know, where is the recovery? Okay. Mr. Obama, Janet Yellen, and any other of you folks that are involved in this recovery, where is the recovery? Okay. I can tell you this, and I don't have the actual statistical figures, but I'll bet anybody, any amount, okay, that the jobs lost versus the jobs gained, that we make less money from the jobs gained than we lost from the jobs lost. Okay? Because I know some of the jobs that were lost, and they were big paying jobs versus the little paying jobs we bring in. And you tell me, what is so good about adding 10 million minimum wage jobs? Okay? Where is the future? Where did you go to get your college degree to get a minimum wage job? I mean, you could have saved $100,000 or $200,000 by not going. Now, of course, I'm not advocating you don't go to college. I think everybody should go to college. I wish I had gone. But my point is simple. Okay, we have no growth. And in life, one of the biggest things, the first way to fix a problem is to address the fact that you have a problem. Okay? And unfortunately, in this country today, we refuse to admit that there is a problem, okay? And that is step number one in the 12-step program of getting better, is to freely admit, you know what, maybe we do have a problem, okay? Now, look, the problem is easily solved. This is, after all, the greatest country in America, the greatest country in the world, and it's easily solved, but we talked about it, last segment, about, price discovery. Well, if you don't let the markets free themselves and trade, it's hard to expect better. Okay? If you don't allow the jobs market to work itself, it's hard to expect better. Where is it that we are getting all this marvelous growth? Manufacturing was down on Monday. Housing was down on Tuesday. Okay? The Richmond Fed manufacturing was a disaster. Okay? Now we have the sad troubles in Louisiana. So where is all of this stuff going to be better? Okay? You know, that's where I see a bigger problem. Okay? Where is it going to be a better deal? How are we going to find the growth? How are we going to find the next level? Okay? I mean, certainly we can continue to hide from it and do nothing, which is what we've done. Okay? Now, does anybody want to continue to do nothing? I don't think that anybody really wants to continue at this pace. I mean, maybe if you're, you know, someone who doesn't care about anything and likes catching, collecting free money and staying home and, you know, doing some crack or drinking a few beers, I guess maybe that's okay. Maybe you don't care. But I care. And I care for you. I care for me. But more importantly, I care for the children, the ones that we're going to leave this world to. And I think that, you know, you look at the Keynesian economy theory, okay? And you can like it or not. And again, we talked about this a couple of times. I'm not saying that the other is much better. The other is different. But don't you think there is a way to do both? Okay? Don't you think there is a way to combine a better system? Okay? Don't you think that we could actually, the brightest nation in the world, the most successful nation in the world, the smartest people, don't you think we could figure out a better way to operate? I mean, doesn't that make sense? Where we sit now, okay, we don't have any real hope. And hope is, if you ever watched Boston Legal, Denny Gray, hope springs a kernel, okay? But I mean, but in all seriousness, hope is the one thing that every person shares that lets us continue to strive to be better. But are we not taking away the hope because nobody wants to admit that we need a better growth, okay? We need a better GDP. We need a lesser government. We need less spending by people who don't know what they're spending it on. I think those are things that become an issue, okay? Like the home sales. I mean, are we really going to buy into it? And of course you don't, because you're with me, okay? But, you know, what do you think is going to happen now with auto sales, okay? You know, we're not just destroying one. You know, I mentioned this a couple of months ago. I felt, that the automakers sold out. I think they went for the big early payday and they sold their futures down the river. You know, when you're giving 10-year loans on cars, you know, if you've ever borrowed a car loan, you know, when everybody's flush, as they say, and has money, you know, what happens? You buy a car on time, okay, and you put nothing down, and you buy a $20,000 car, and a couple of years you want to trade it in. The new car you want to buy is 30. You've got 10,000 equity in your car, so you're down to 20. Of course, you've got you get your 14 in a car that's worth 10. Okay, so there's the problem. So you roll it in, right? And your payment, you know, rise a little bit or whatever. And then you do the same again. So what you've now done is you continue to roll debt into a bigger bundle. But the numbers don't get so skewed. Now, in these longer term loans, okay, where you give somebody 10 years to pay for the car, we know one thing. The car immediately depreciates the minute you take it off the showroom floor. Let's say it's 10%. In 2 years, most cars are worth, you know, 60 cents on the dollar. Okay. So all of a sudden, what do you got now? Okay. You owe 90 cents on the dollar because you finance it forever. It's only worth 60. Now you can't trade it. You can't roll it up. You can't do anything. So what do you end up with? Well, you end up with a car that's not going to be sold, that's not going to be traded in, and you end up with costing the company's auto sales. So now, you know, people are going to be forced to hold on a little bit longer unless the economy dramatically picks up. And it could happen, okay? I'm not saying it won't happen. I mean, I wish it would, but again, I have to weigh the probability model as to what we've done, the work that has been done by the idiots in charge, okay? I've got to weigh, is there an opportunity for a change? And I have to look and say, in today's current model, there is not, because we have not done anything. So if you've not done anything to get better, how can you expect it to get better? Okay? This is the issues that are going to plague this nation for quite a while, because let's get back to the stock market. Until the stock market cracks, okay, we are going to continue to live the same life of, oh, we're okay, we got cheap money, the market's going to be good, and we can be crappy everywhere else, but the stock market's good, the free money is good, and nobody's squawking, okay? But we just need money to continue to pay those entitlements. We need money to continue to do some things we do, and we'll just keep everybody quiet, and we'll just continue to kick the can down the road a little bit farther. Well, we all know that doesn't work from a long-term standpoint. We all know that only leads to disaster, as it did in every crisis before this. That same model always breaks down. It always breaks down at around the same point. And I would say we're within, in my opinion, within weeks of that point. Okay? Now, why do I say that? Well, here's what you look at. Okay? If you take a look at volatility, or the volatility index, the VIX, okay? And if you take a look at the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ, or the Russell being the only one not to have made a new all-time high, okay? And you go, okay, so what looks familiar? Well, if you go back in history, and you look at the spans where the VIX was absolutely cracking down, going lower, and the markets were making new highs, the so-called rubber band that we look at was stretching too far, okay? And it will revert back to mean. So you figure a snapback. Well, the only way it can snap back is if the market sell off and the VIX goes up. But anyways, we'll get more of this when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm. Get The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge. We'll be right back. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Back in a minute. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And we're back. We're in the home stretch here. All right, so we were talking about what I'm looking at, the formula, okay? Now, again, this doesn't pinpoint an exact day. Don't get excited. But when you get if you look at the market like a rubber band, okay? And I love the example of, if you remember when we were kids, we had those balsa wood airplanes, and you used to wind the propeller to tighten the rubber band, and then you'd let it fly, and the tighter you get the rubber band, the farther it would fly and the faster it would fly. But what happened to the rubber band? Well, a lot of times, first it would stretch out, okay? So you had to try to even wind it tighter to get the same result. And then, of course, once it reached too far, or in mathematical cases, let's say 3 or 4 standard deviations away from the mean, well, what happened? The rubber band broke. It had to snap back. And that is very similar to what is happening in the market, okay, is the rubber band is getting stretched too far away. The difference in volatility and the actual markets, the distance is way too far now. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't go up eventually again. First of all, it doesn't mean we're going down yet. But I would say with a pretty high probability, today is August 24th, 2016, Wednesday. I will say to you, in my opinion, that by the middle of September, we will have seen at least one or two days that will bring the market down 5 or 6%. Okay. Now, again, I can't tell you. If I could tell you when it was, I would tell you. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. But based on what I've looked at over time, this is due to happen. And it has nothing to do with the quality of the market. It has nothing to do with jobs. It has to do with just a basic, pure math model that the theory would be that we've gone too far. The stretch is too far in the rubber band, and it has to revert back to the mean. Now, it could come down. The volatility could go up. The market could come down, and then we could end up breaking up and making brand new highs a few days later. So this is not a permanent solution. This is purely a statistically based theory, okay, that, you know, the right circumstances are setting up to back that theory, which is very simple, okay? Markets are too high and too complacent. Volatility is too low. Nobody cares. And when those two things occur, what that really creates is that creates a bigger problem, because what do we know for a fact? Okay, when we become too complacent in any walk of life, okay, typically we end up with disappointment. Okay, whenever you become, if you think back at your life, whenever you become too complacent at any one thing, usually that it ends up ugly. And I think that's the same way the markets will end up. And again, this has nothing to do with the economics, anything. This is purely based on speculation of the mathematical model of trading. Okay. And that is something that we have to look at. Okay. Because even a train stops at the station. Okay. Everybody, at some point, it has to take a break. And again, you get to this point, and what will happen is there will either be, believe it or not, some geopolitical event that will cause some severe selling, or there will be some profit taking, or there'll be just some economic data that became so bad that sparked a sell-off. Now, the reason that there's so much danger right here is not, again, because the markets are in bad shape. The reason is because there are so many people that are invested in on greed. Okay, there are so many people that are in on margin. Okay, that, remember, if you margin, okay, and let's say you margin 2 to 1, well, for every dollar you lose 2, or you make 2. So if you leverage it 5 to 1, obviously it's 5. And again, I've said this, I think, probably 1,000 times in the last couple of months. You've got too many people borrowing money that they don't have to buy stocks they can't afford. Combine that in with a market that is loaded with elderly that can't wait to get out of the market. And believe me, this is the key here. This is the kingpin. Okay, the minute we start to sell, the elderly will be dumping quicker because, again, they cannot afford to take another hit, because as your life winds down, you cannot afford to blow your principal. Okay, when you're at your higher earning levels, you can afford the whack. When you're in the at the end, you cannot take the chance. So the margin greed will get taken out, and then will come the elderly, and then what will happen is then some technical start to break down, and then come the technicians. Now, again, I can't tell you when it's going to happen. I believe that we'll have something in the next, you know, 20 trading days, 30 days, but 20 trading days. And again, it's purely based on the statistics, not anything to do with bad earnings or anything. Okay? It's the way that markets kind of operate. It kind of ties into that whole thing of the free world. Okay. Because the Fed can only defend for so long, and eventually people want to take profits, they want to get out, and they want to move on. Okay. But I'm kind of disappointed. I'm not really disappointed. I guess I'm kind of mad. Maybe mad is a better word. I am so tired of the Fed, and not in my normal way, because I think they do a lousy job, but I'm so sick of their manipulative theories and practices, because we know what they're doing. At least I feel I know what they're doing. I mean, they're just trying to control the bubble so they get people out there talking, okay? And they get, you know, Dudley, and they get Lockhart, and now Fisher's out there talking. I mean, are they, like, trying to justify their existence? I mean, I happen to like Fisher, but the only way out, kids, is to raise interest rates. The only way out is let the markets to do what they're going to do. And this is the mistake that Ben Bernanke made in 2013 when he let the stock market bully him and did not raise then, because they should have raised. We should have right now, we should be at 3 or 4% interest. Now, I know we can't go that high right now because, again, that does attract a lot of money because of the spreads around the world. But we have to let this economy run on its own. You cannot continue to stifle what's going on. Because what you're really creating is a bigger problem for later. And again, I will put in the notes, see Japan. Okay? I will put in the notes, see any of the other countries that have failed. Okay? Japan is a miserable failure for 30 years. I guess I'll ask you this question. Do you want to live in this environment for the next 25 years? Because, you know, the first period of this, you know, again, I'm not in agreement with it. But they did it, so I'll live with it. But the last of this has just been an absolute joke. So do you want to be Japan and never know when you're getting out and have them continue to tax you as they look for the inflation that they say isn't there? But of course, holy gee willikers, everything that I buy all the time is much higher than it was. And everything I buy occasionally is much lower. Well, where does the figure of inflation come in? Okay. That becomes the bigger problem, is where does that figure come in? Okay. If inflation is what they're looking for, okay, why, I don't know, because that takes away from free markets. But if I'm paying more for food, gas, energy, books, college, everyday items that I use, toilet paper, tin foil, toothpaste, whatever. But because my refrigerator or my stove or my TV set is either lower or equal, and that hasn't gone up, where does that mean there's not inflation? I know that I'm spending more money today than I spent yesterday. Anyways, I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. Because this is the end of today, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. This is The Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the podcast. Download. Anyways, everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.